Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Uncensored Match Builder podcast here for you on Acast and theredmentv.com.
Hello everyone, it's the Uncensored Match Builder show. We're here to talk about Liverpool versus Hoffenheim, the second leg of the playoff round, with the Champions League group stage looming, so no pressure. I'm joined by Chris Page, by Emma Sanders and by Ross Chandley as well. Let's get stuck into it, Chris. As mentioned, 90 minutes from the Champions League.
Paul, are you for real, lads? I was not nervous because we've just done the final word show. Turn around, 90 minutes from the Champions League. I've got a sweat on. Mm. I've got an actual sweat on.
Yeah.
It's a good job these are good quality T-shirts and they're not shampoo.
Do you know what I mean?
12 quid. I mean, I've talked about it before. They're not ethically made yet, but they do. The money stays in for Zachary in Liverpool, so that's a good thing. Yeah. So you need to support that stuff. But 90 minutes from the Champions League. And the thing is, Hoffenheim are a better side than I thought as well. Mm. You know, I'd seen a little bit of them last season. I love watching the Bundesliga highlights show on BT Sport at the weekend and stuff, but not seeing them for 90 minutes and seeing the way that they pressed and the way that they played against us, it makes me realise how good a performance that was last week against them. You know, they were a very, very good side. They dominated us possession-wise. They were unlucky not to get a draw out of the game, but ultimately we gamed them. And as such, I think we're going to have to do the same because there's Champions League football at the end of this.
Yeah, I think in some regards, it could well play into our hands. I think there's a certain air of revenge there. Their manager was a bit annoyed with how Jürgen described the performance. Yeah. I think he'll have a point to prove. And I think, again, that we saw toward the back end of the Crystal Palace game, and it'll be a completely different test to Crystal Palace, of course, but what this Liverpool side could offer on the counter-attack, we haven't really seen it in full effect yet, but I think when that clicks for us, we could be a devastating unit.
I think we'll be absolutely frightening. You know, if we can put that into place against Hoffenheim, then that'll be fantastic. And I do think that they're the kind of team that will go all out, whether they're home or away. Don't think they'll hold back. Like you say, they've got nothing to lose. They'll be going out to get revenge, and I do think that'll play into our hands. We'll look to get them on the counter. We'll look to hit them with pace. And yeah, I'm really excited, first and foremost. Champions League football back at Anfield.
Yep.
They're the best nights. I can't wait. I'll be in the new main stand, so I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
And this is the thing, Ross, is we mentioned this the other week. Having a game of football that genuinely matters. Now, Sky and BT are trying to make out like every league game matters, and they don't. Look, you know, these early games mean absolutely frig all. But for this, look, it's as simple as this. You know, Liverpool are in the driving seat in this tie. If we beat them, it's nailed on. If it goes down to the wire a little bit more, things still in our favour. But this is the point. This is what being a football fan, this is what being a Liverpool fan is all about. I think we've forgotten it to some extent. But exactly what Emma's saying there, this is exciting, and what a wonderful problem to have of being a bit stressed and a bit nervous about a game of football 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah, it's the game that everyone gets up for, isn't it? And it's all last season, all everyone wanted was Champions League football, and now we're in that position to get it. People are panicking, thinking we've got two games a week. Well, that's the position you want to be in. Yeah. You want to go to those night games where the atmosphere's cracking, and you know we've got that advantage of they need to score, so they have to come out and play, mm-hmm. which, like you said, our advantage of counter-attacking football. So I think it's just going to be a cracking game, whatever happens.
They need two goals first and foremost, don't they? I think that's what you've got to remember. I think, you know, if they were just needing one, they might come and look to get a foothold in the game first and foremost. But because they do need two goals because of our away goals, they're going to have to come out of the blocks quickly. You might see, look, heaven forbid, if they score an early goal, they might keep it simple for a portion of the game and then maybe push on towards the end and stuff. But they're going to need to score early, and the longer we can keep them out, it bodes well for us. You know, the crowd will get more involved, we'll understand the situation of the tie and stuff. And you know, there needs to be a synergy between the fans and the team on the pitch on Wednesday at Anfield, and I think there will be. There always is. And ultimately, look, we've come off the back of a good home win already. I think we'll be going for the win ourselves anyway, because I think Jürgen Klopp won't like
Nangles.
Klopp won't have liked the way that he spoke about it after the game, and I think there'll be a little bit of, listen lads, I'm Jürgen Klopp, get my foot on your throat type of a thing, and make sure that you beat them properly in the second game so that you can't fucking moan about anything. Like.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, with Liverpool, you know that the team we have, I'm confident every game that we are going to score. That I genuinely believe we're going to score a goal in most games, if not all games. And
we're going to concede as well.
Exactly. This is it. I mean, I think it's just a case of how many we concede against how many we score. And I think, like you say, we've already got two goals in the bag. So I think even if we concede one, I think we'll at least score one.
Yeah. I think it's on us here. A goal, almost, it doesn't put it beyond all doubt, but it leaves them needing three effectively, doesn't it? You know, and I think that's a strong position.
I mean,
it's interesting that they kind of got through. They kind of got through their game at the weekend. It's kind of similar to us. They beat Werder Bremen 1-0 at home. Kramaric scoring the world's most deflected goal you've ever seen. He literally going for the far top corner, and it goes in the other top corner. It's amazing.
It's
a great
goal.
it's a top quality goal. And what's interesting, Chris, is Gnabry and Kramaric were both on the bench, and Wagner was completely rested as well. So they've had a similar opportunity to us to get some fresh legs and whatever. And again, we've rested players, which is a little bit unlike us to some extent. So there's no, I think, don't think there's any excuses on either side here, but to go flat out for the win.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I expect Salah to come straight back into the side, I think, you know, after being rested at the weekend and stuff. And, you know, the worry for me is around those centre midfield positions again, where we do seem to be unable to rest players at the moment. But if there's an onus on the fullbacks getting forward, we rested both of our fullbacks, you could argue, at the weekend, and as such we'll have two fresh pairs of legs to bring back into the fold. And you know, our free kick take will be back on the field hopefully on Wednesday looking for another Champions League goal, and then I think he'll have equaled Everton's Champions League goals ever.
I think
I'm right in saying, which would be lovely to get that done in two games as well, wouldn't it? Another little box ticked, as it were. Sure, he'll want to do that as well. To be honest with you,
absolutely. It's a very, very interesting game. And one thing that is also very, very interesting is Chris's choice of attire for the show today.
Yeah, blue jeans, standard.
If you want a piece of merchandise that is really, you know, something that won't be funny in about a month's time, but is absolutely nailed on funny right now.
It's unique.
We've got it in tent form and also in t-shirt. Payjack Nudes t-shirts available on the Redman TV merch.
It feels wrong wearing a t-shirt that says Payjack Nudes.
Something that you really hate as well.
It's mad, isn't it?
So yeah, if you want a Payjack Nudes t-shirt, by all means you can do. AFC Liverpool shirt available on the shop as well.
They're wicked, like.
Yeah, genuinely amazing. In fact, do us a favour, chuck us that shirt right there. Thank you, Isaac. So yeah, some of you will know, some of you won't. We've sponsored AFC Liverpool for this season. It is probably the second, unfortunately, it's the second nicest Liverpool home shirt this season, because the official Liverpool one is genuinely amazing. But in any other season, I think that's better than most home shirts Liverpool have had. But yeah, that's available. There's the away shirt as well, which has gone to be fetched by Sean, which means I'll just have to talk for a few more seconds while he throws it in. Fantastic. Got a bit high, but that's okay. And there you go, there's the away shirt.
It's beautiful.
Which is
nice.
Absolutely the best Liverpool away kit of the season, by the way. So they're available on the Redmen TV merch site. There's a clickable link in the annotation at the end of the video. Otherwise, it's the Redmen TV dot Big Cartel.
No, the Redmen TV shop dot Big Cartel dot com. Brilliant. But there's also a card in the corner of the screen now, isn't there, Si?
Yep.
Almost certainly there will be a card to click the eye in the corner of the screen if you want some Redmen TV merch or AFC Liverpool merch as well. Support your local team aside from the other one. Okay, so it's time of the show where we ask the people here other than Chris to predict what the starting 11 is going to be. If you want Chris's starting 11 prediction, you can watch that on the YouTube channel. That will be tremendous. So let's have a little bit. In fact, from behind the scenes, can we have a whoa? Pathetic! Fucking rubbish, we'll have to work on this.
Moreno left back.
Oh, good shot.
Oh, no.
So let's quickly go through it then. Ross once again has failed to spell Mignolet right.
What? That's why he says it wrong. In
Mignolet. No. That's fine.
Yeah, Ming the Merciless. Yeah. So you've gone for a lowercase Mignolet.
Yeah.
You've gone for
Pen with a fat end.
Matip, Lovren, Moreno back four. Yeah. Henderson, Chan, Gini midfield, Salah, Bobby, Mane up front. And Emma's gone for. Exactly.
No. She's inverted. She's inverted the midfield for a start.
So you've gone for the three of the same back four, but Robertson at left back.
Yeah.
And Henderson, Milner anchoring with Chan in some sort of mad free roll 10 thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been unimpressed with Gini so far. Mm-hmm. I think he's looked really flat and he's lacked creativity. So I wanted to bring Emery Chan in because I think he can drive from midfield and, you know. You don't really know what you're going to get with Emre. Some games he's fantastic, some games he's invisible.
Yeah.
Hopefully he turns up and he's going to be fantastic.
I completely agree. I think Emre Chan 100% has to come. I've got him anchoring the midfield because I think Henderson could do with coming out. But there was an interesting case made around the room prior to filming, Chris, that Henderson probably actually needs games to get himself up to speed. But that being said, Emre Chan, he got rested at the weekend. It's more a case of who he's coming in for than anything else.
Yeah, and I think you look when Henderson left the field in the first leg, I think it was after about 60, 65 minutes, wasn't it? Emery then goes into that six, Milner comes in on the left-hand side, and you could argue that that's the best the midfield looked all season so far, even including the Palace game. I think, you know, Milner settled that midfield performance for me. Chan looked much better in the six. And I'm totally comfortable with Chan in the six. I think that's his best position. Yeah. I think it's Jordan Henderson's best position. If you want a good midfield performance, play your fellas in their best positions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's going to mean that players are going to have to sit out some games. Sounds. As long as everybody else is performing well, it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah.
And as I say, Emery's proved over that Europa League run at the back end of two seasons ago, and he proved at the end of last season that he can play in that position, he can play well in that position.
And I think, again, he'll always have a point to prove. On this stage, and particularly against a German team as well, he won't want to be second best because inevitably he's getting watched regardless. Yeah. But I'm sure people back home, we're more likely to watch this in regards to the national team. Yeah. It'll be important for Emery to perform.
Yeah, especially in a World Cup year. Yeah. So he'll be in the headlines in Germany for that. Definitely.
So so people watching, they'll be interested in your thoughts. If Emre Can's likely to come into the midfield three, who is it that's going to miss out of Milner, Henderson, or Gini Wijnaldum? I agree. I think there's a good case on the Wijnaldum stuff because I agree. I don't think he's put in a really good performance yet this season. But then again, how do you take the captain out if it's going to be Henderson? So some headaches potentially for Klopp there, but good ones nevertheless. The left back situation, you've gone for Robertson, and I think you will curry far more favour in the comments for having done so because look, he had a great game at the weekend, and no one likes Moreno by all accounts. Even though I don't think he's been that bad so far this season. Is it just as simple as he just gets to keep his place, anything?
You know, for me, I struggle with Moreno at left back. I get so nervous.
Not as much as Dejan Lovren.
I think both. Yeah. But yeah, I get so nervous when he's on the pitch that in a game like this, after Robertson's performance, I just think, just let him carry on where he left off. See how he gets on.
I'm kind of the opinion, Ross, with the Moreno stuff is that, again, I think he's been okay. We all know his weaknesses. We all know what he is. I think at this point, I kind of accept what he can't do, and I accept what he can do. I don't know that Robertson's had a good start, whether it's just about him easing him back into the team or whatever, you know. So I wouldn't be shocked to see either of them play left back, yeah, is kind of what I'm driving at.
Yeah, it's kind of a 50-50. It's one of the two, isn't it? But the only reason I left him out was because he played at the weekend and then thought, give him a rest. Moreno obviously had a rest, and it's, you know, it's an important game. You need people at the, mm-hmm, the physical peak,
yeah,
to get through. As much as I don't like Moreno, he has got his faults, but to me, he's just, as you can play whoever's fresh at the start of the game, and if things pan out, the game pans out that we're a couple of goals up, then maybe rest people from
and
there.
And it's worth pointing out, Chris, that how Jurgen Klopp feels about these players is often very different to how we feel about them personally. And, you know, for whatever our criticisms of Moreno are, Klopp said in post-match when he was talking about Robertson, he said Moreno had the perfect pre-season. You know, the performances he put in. James Milner, who was, you know, in the top three or four left backs in the country last season, has been moved back out of that position because he clearly has enough trust in Moreno that, again, as a result, we might be a little bit nervy by it, but I don't think Klopp's got shares those nerves.
Maybe not. I think there are, you know, other things to take into consideration. I still wonder whether Milner would be considered a left back if we hadn't got Lallana out and Coutinho, yeah, out at the moment. I think, you know, I'd personally prefer to see him in this game at left back if those midfielders were available, because I think defensively he is better than both of those fellas, Robertson and Moreno. But, you know, You've got to roll with the punches, haven't you? And right now, Milner looks to be a really good link for us in midfield. The only one that we didn't mention, I think, was you'd had Clavin, am I right in saying there?
Oh, yes, sorry.
To keep his place, and both of you to have brought Lovren back in. I think that's a really interesting shout with the Clavin stuff, because, you know, he did play well. Does a centre-back ever really need resting? Did he rest Lovren at the weekend? You know what I mean?
Or was it a bit of a punishment for being a bit
shit and not being able to deal with Benteke over the last few years? Because Clavin, ultimately, I think Lovren's main strength is his heading. So you would think naturally that against Benteke, Lovren would be the guy to go in, but he trusted Klavan. Mm. You know, we're going to see Wagner probably come back into the game for Hoffenheim, big, tall fella. We saw how Klavan and Matip dealt with Benteke. I wonder if that's a centre back partnership that is going to keep going forwards.
It's an interesting one because out of preference, I'd play Klavan, but I put Lovren in because simply for the fact. Because he was rested. You don't know.
And it could just be one of those things. We've talked about it. You talked about it on the final word about, oh, maybe it was Emerson. Like, we're getting players up to speed again. It's not like we're looking to reduce the impact of a situation where we have to chuck a load of players in without footy.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is that Lovren just can't do. You know, he's been plagued by little problems, hasn't he? And maybe it's just that thing of he's just gone now. I'll pull you out, and
it's taken him out the firing line as well. I mean, like you say, Moreno and Lovren have been really heavily criticised in the opening week of the season. So maybe he thought, I'll take him out of this game in a game where you'd expect to win against Palace. I know we've not had the best record, but you'd still put us as the favourites to win.
Yeah.
So maybe Klopp's thinking was, if I take him out the firing line, you know, he can go into that Hoffenheim game with a bit more confidence.
Yeah, we'll fire him up a bit as well.
The other thing to consider as well is you've spent all pre-season getting everybody fit, right? You know you're going to need your entire squad this season. There's no point in not playing guys for 4 to 6 weeks and them losing that fitness that they've built up. So maybe we are just going to see changes more and more, because we know at some point during the season we're going to have to call on these guys. And it would be stupid of us to then have to play them for 4 games before you're reaping the benefits of them, before they're back to match fitness.
Exactly.
So I wonder whether we are just going to see this all season long.
Again, as I said, I can see a strong case for both Moreno and Lovren coming straight back into the team. And equally, you know, to be honest, as much as everyone's raved about Trent, it genuinely wouldn't shock me to see Gomez keep his place if we decided we were just going to be dead solid in this game and see it out. That would terrify me, but it wouldn't, you know what I mean? I think it's a good situation to be in. The good thing about it is that because you know, you're only ever as good as your last performance, and the good thing is that the lads who we brought in at the weekend, every single one of them did enough for me to think, well, fine, yeah, go ahead, play Clavan, play Robertson. If we had to play Gomez, play Gomez, and I wouldn't be like, What the hell are we doing here? We've not mentioned him at all because he, I think he's dead to a lot of Liverpool fans at the moment. But now that Barcelona's ultimatum has passed, the transfer that has been rejected has been withdrawn. Phil Coutinho, any odds on his back injury mysteriously clearing up all of a sudden?
Well, he's obviously got a very severe back injury, hasn't he?
Imagine if he genuinely has.
I've said that.
Sorry, Phil, it's really bad. Ross, it would be it would be very, very suspicious if he just came back in. But it's not outside the realms of possibility, you know. I mean, we could probably do with the window, but it probably won't happen till the window shuts, if it's going to happen, and the international break, and then Coutinho just sheepishly appears back on
the tail between his legs.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's probably just be left out till the window closes. I think he's too much distraction, and I don't think it'd be good for the rest of the camp, as it were, to bring him back into the fold. When people have been playing, people probably deserve a place. Yeah. But you don't know the full ins and outs of, has he been told not to play, or has he refused to play? You just don't know what to believe, do you?
Just to borrow a line from Jermaine Genius and use it properly, there is an issue about cutting off your nose despite your face, though, because if you've got a footballer that good, you know, I wouldn't like to see us not play him because I was concerned about how people felt about it. If he's fit and available, we're a much better team with Phil Coutinho in it than without him.
Oh, of course. Look, of course we are. Like, I mean, what Phil Coutinho are you getting? No, you're getting Phil Coutinho with his head in Barcelona, because then are you actually a better team with him, you know, with him playing? Because
he can
ultimately
probably still pick out a pass from there, to
be fair. Of course he can. Of course he can. And I'd give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he probably could perform because of what we've seen from him over the last, what is it, 4 years or something now, maybe 5 years. But, you know, Klopp's repeatedly said this message from when he got into the football club, is that he wants players who want to be here, and right now Phil Coutinho doesn't want to be here. And maybe the easiest thing to say to everybody is that he's got a back injury, because you know, you're not having to feel questions as much as even if you'd said, no, we're just not playing him because he's not right for Liverpool right now and stuff. And you know, right, yeah, Phil Coutinho of course is going to be a better player than Gini Wijnaldum, who's in poor form, or Henderson, who's in iffy form as well. But I go back to what Phil Coutinho are you getting, Paul?
Yeah, no, I can't see him. I don't think he would come in. I don't think he's not trained one way or the other, has he?
No.
It's just how we'll know, I guess, in the next week or two, whether it's a genuine back injury or whether it's a transfer ploy. Given all the stuff Barcelona have thrown out, they've tried everything. They've literally tried every possible every trick in the book, haven't they? They've pulled out in these last couple of weeks. And I'd like to think it's dead and buried, but I think it was probably Ross on the Twitter the other day. Said, yeah, it's over. So I fully expect a bid to come in on Tuesday. Yeah.
You know what, though, Barca haven't offered a Happy Meal with a tour like club ask. So maybe that's the next step.
That's amazing. Yeah, you're getting an absolute belter. Like, yeah, yeah. Brilliant. So, yeah. Let's have some score predictions then, Ross. How do you think it's going to go down?
3-2. And a couple of heart attacks on the way.
Yeah,
that's what it's been. Awesome. I think I can see them scoring goals because they need to come out and do stuff. And like you said, we always concede a fucking goal no matter what happens. But with Mane, Salah, Firmino up front, which I think will happen, I think we'll.
Okay, cool.
I think 2-1. I think it'll be a similar story to the first leg. I can see us having a 2-0 lead and, you know, letting in a consolation goal quite late on. But I'm fairly confident, to be honest.
Good.
Yes. I'm gonna go with 1-0 again. I think Liverpool just maybe score early and kill them off and then just play keep ball for the rest of the game. Like, that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, and it's something that, see, I'm going to go with the rarely seen draw in the Redmen TV predictions.
No!
I'm going for a 1-1 draw.
Oh, Paul, how?
They're going to go one up and we're all going to get a bit windy about everything and then we're probably just going to score. But it'll probably be like 75 minutes and then it'll lead to 50 minutes of defending for our lives, and then we'll get through and we'll all be.
Who's going to score a Milner from a penalty?
Yeah, that perfect. Yeah, absolutely that. Something that leaves all the people who are not thoroughly convinced, still not thoroughly convinced with everything, but ultimately we'll get the job done. Okay, let us know what your thoughts are on what we've talked about in regards to who comes into the midfield, who comes into the back four, and your score predictions in the comments below. As ever, do check out Redmen TV merchandise. That stuff's all amazing. And the website as well, if you want more in-depth and detailed stuff. And if you want the Now Instant Match Reaction podcast, where we talk about the match in a bit more depth and detail, pretty much immediately after the game, you can do the redmentv.com. It's £5 a month. Get involved. If you don't want to, don't do it. Thank you very much for watching the show. Thank you very much for subscribing to the YouTube channel if you're just into that shit. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Post-match content we'll have from outside Anfield after the match. See you there. Okay, everyone, thanks very much for listening. If you want more Red Men podcasts, you can do. Go to theredmentv.com. 5 exclusive podcasts a week covering everything you need to know about Liverpool Football Club. Just £5 a month, plus a whole ton of video content as well.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.